Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
What if the food on your plate held a connection not just to the soil, but to the cosmos? What if the secret to our own vitality was tied to the life force of the farm itself?
It's a pretty radical thought, isn't it? I mean, for me, I've always been focused on sustainability in a very practical sense. Composting, reducing waste, buying local. But then you hear about a farming philosophy that involves planting by the phases of the moon and using preparations buried in cow horns. And you just have to stop and say, okay, what is really going on here?
Exactly. That's what pulled me in too, but from a different angle. I hit a point in my own health journey where even organic didn't feel like enough. I was looking for food that felt, I don't know, more alive, more nutrient dense. And that search led me down this fascinating rabbit hole.
And that rabbit hole has a name. Today we are diving deep into the world of biodynamic farming.
We're going to explore this practice that some call the gold standard of sustainable agriculture. And others, well, others label it as pseudoscience. It's a method that treats the entire farm as a single, self-sustaining organism.
Right. An organism with its own rhythm, its own spirit. We'll be looking at how this approach could potentially heal our soil, impact the environment, and maybe most importantly, how the food it produces might profoundly affect our own physical and mental well-being. So, the big question we're holding throughout our conversation today is this: can cultivating a deeper, more spiritual connection with the land where our food is grown truly cultivate a new level of wellness within ourselves?
And that question of wellness, it forces us to look beyond just the absence of pesticides. It pushes us into the foundational principles of biodynamics. The core idea is that the farm isn't a factory with inputs and outputs. It's a living being, a self-contained organism.
Okay, I can conceptually get behind that. It sounds holistic, interconnected. But what does that look like on a Tuesday morning for a farmer? Because that's where the theory meets the, well, the dirt. And that's where things get unusual.
That's a fair question. It translates into some very specific, and I'll grant you, very unconventional practices. They're called the biodynamic preparations. Think of them as homeopathic remedies for the earth.
Right. This is the part that raises eyebrows. We're talking about the cow horns, aren't we?
We are. But it's more than just that. For instance, one of the key preparations for compost involves taking yarrow blossoms and stuffing them into the bladder of a red deer.
A deer's bladder? Why? I mean, I'm trying to follow the logic here. Is there a chemical reason for that?
From a purely chemical perspective, it's hard to justify. The philosophy, as Steiner laid it out, is that each preparation connects the farm to specific cosmic or terrestrial forces. The deer bladder, for example, is seen as being strongly connected to, let's say, planetary forces that influence potassium and sulfur processes in the soil.
So the organ itself is considered a vessel for a certain kind of energy.
Precisely. And it's not just that one. There's another where chamomile blossoms are placed into the small intestines of a cow, or oak bark is packed inside the skull of a domestic animal and buried in a wet place.
Wow. I mean, it sounds more like alchemy than agriculture. It feels like a huge leap of faith for a farmer whose livelihood depends on their yield.
It is a leap. And it's why many in the scientific community have labeled it pseudoscience. There isn't a double-blind study you can point to that says the deer bladder preparation increased potassium uptake by 12%. It doesn't work that way.
So, if the preparations are one pillar, what's the other? I've heard it has to do with looking up at the sky.
The planting calendar. It's all about timing. Biodynamics suggests that the moon's phases and even the constellations it passes through have a tangible effect on plant growth.
So you'd plant your carrots on a root day when the moon is in an earth sign like Taurus, and you'd harvest your lettuce on a leaf day when it's in a water sign.
You've got it. The idea is that these celestial rhythms influence whether the plant puts its energy into its roots, its leaves, its flowers, or its fruit.
Yeah, and this is another area that draws heavy skepticism. I was reading about a major review in 2021 from the University of Valencia. They looked at over 100 studies and found no reliable science-based evidence for it. None. They basically said popular beliefs about the moon's influence on agriculture have no scientific backing.
And that is the central tension of biodynamics, isn't it? You have generations of farmers who will swear on their life that planting by the calendar produces stronger, more vibrant plants. And then you have the scientific literature saying there's no observable mechanism for it.
Which leaves us in a really tricky place. Are these farmers experiencing a real phenomenon that science just hasn't figured out how to measure yet? Or is it something else? A kind of placebo effect for the entire farm.
That's such a great way to frame it. A placebo effect for the farm. And maybe there's some truth to that, but not in the dismissive way we usually use the term. What if the placebo isn't about tricking yourself, but about focusing your intention?
What do you mean by that? Like, the farmer's belief itself is an agricultural input?
In a way, yes. Think about it. A farmer who follows these incredibly detailed, almost ritualistic practices, burying a horn, tracking lunar cycles, is, by definition, paying an extraordinary level of attention to their land. They're not just driving a tractor. They're engaged in a deep daily observation.
So, the argument would be that the ritual forces a level of mindfulness that a conventional farmer might not have. It's not the deer bladder that magically improves the compost. It's the fact that the farmer is thinking deeply about the compost, observing it, tending to it, with this heightened sense of purpose.
Precisely. The practice cultivates the farmer, and the farmer cultivates the land. It changes the entire relationship from one of extraction to one of stewardship. And that shift in consciousness, well, that has to have a tangible effect on the soil, on the plants.
Okay, I can follow that logic. It makes intuitive sense. But it also sidesteps the central claim, doesn't it? Biodynamics doesn't say these are mindful rituals to make you a better farmer. It says these preparations channel cosmic forces. That's a very different proposition.
It is. And that's the part you either accept on a level beyond current scientific measurement, or you don't. But let's look at the results for a second. Let's put the how on the shelf and look at the what. There have been long-term comparison studies, some running for decades, that put biodynamic plots right next to organic and conventional ones.
And what do they find? I mean, beyond the farmer just feeling more connected.
Better soil. Consistently. Higher levels of organic matter. More microbial diversity. Better water retention. The soil on these farms is measurably more alive and resilient. So even if you can't prove the cosmic forces, you can't deny the effect on the foundational element of the entire system, the earth itself.
That is compelling. Because healthy soil is the bedrock of everything. It means less erosion, better carbon capture, more nutrient-dense plants. You don't need to believe in astrology to see the value in that. So, the question then becomes, are the esoteric parts necessary to get that result?
Right. Could you get the same quality of soil just by being a really, really good organic farmer without the preparations and the calendar? Maybe. But the biodynamic farmers would argue that those practices are the very tools that allow them to achieve that next level of soil vitality. That you can't separate the weird stuff from the results.
It feels like we're talking about two different languages. The language of soil science, microbial biomass, humus formation, and the language of Steiner, which is all about ethereal forces and formative energies. And they're describing the same outcome, but the explanations are worlds apart.
And maybe that's the real takeaway here, that we don't have to choose a language. Maybe the goal is to become bilingual, to be able to appreciate the scientific data on soil organic matter, while also honoring the farmer's intuitive, almost spiritual connection to their land.
I like that. Bilingual. But it still leaves me with a practical dilemma. When I'm at the market, and I see a biodynamically grown apple next to an organic one, what am I actually choosing? Am I just paying for the farmer's good intentions?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think what you're choosing is a product from a system that, by its very design, demands a higher level of care. You're choosing food from a farm that is, in all likelihood, more resilient, more diverse, and a better carbon sink than its conventional or even some of its organic counterparts.
So, it's a vote for a healthier ecosystem, even if the direct health benefits to me from that one apple are, let's say, hard to quantify in a lab.
Exactly. But then there's the part we can't measure. The part I was looking for at the beginning of all this. The vitality. I've talked to so many chefs and winemakers who work with biodynamic ingredients, and they all say the same thing. The flavors are more complex, more vibrant. The food just tastes more alive.
Which, I suppose, is a form of data in itself. It's just not data you can put in a spreadsheet. It's sensory data.
Right. And maybe we've discounted that kind of data for too long.
You know, I came into this conversation pretty skeptical of the whole deer bladder side of things. And I can't say I'm ready to start planting by the moon in my own little garden. But my perspective has shifted. I'm less focused on the why of the esoteric practices now, and more impressed by the what. The results in the soil seem to speak for themselves.
For me, it's a powerful reminder that there are ways of knowing that exist outside of our current scientific models. It doesn't mean those models are wrong. It just means they might be incomplete. This whole system is a challenge to that incompleteness.
So at the end of the day, biodynamics asks us to hold two seemingly contradictory ideas at once. That a practice can be both scientifically unproven in its mechanisms and yet demonstrably effective in its results. And that's a pretty fascinating place to be.
It really is. It forces you to think differently, not just about your food, but about the very systems we use to understand the world.
A huge thank you to everyone for going down this rabbit hole with us today. It's a complex topic with no easy answers. But maybe the real nourishment is in asking the questions. Until next time.